6 months, maybe just a little bit longer in the series on one another. As I was starting these lessons, I found a few more one another places where that word is used, and the reason why I found other places because you look down through the verses, or as we go through them, you'll see that just the words one another are not always tied together. It could be one for another, or one toward another. But in the concordance, if you just look up the words one another, the two words right next to each other, you get a limited placement or advertisement where those verses are in the Bible. So found there were other places where that connection is used. So that's so the lesson this evening is just kind of a summary, and perhaps even next Lord's Day, Lord willing. I just want to review a couple things. It was interesting when I started just typing my notes up. I almost started giving the whole sermon all over again in my notes. I know I just wanted to give the gist of each verse, you know, just one or two sentences. I kept catching myself saying more about each verse. But in the introduction, but this just to kind of make a clarification, the word one, hopefully you got the message, or I did too, in these lessons. We're talking about I, you, and me. I want you to take these verses personally. They're speaking to me. And almost, I want to say, don't look around when you say it's one, and then now look around, another. So that's the one beside you, or the one beside you. That's why I put the S in parenthesis on the notes. It's someone other than you. So, but take it personally, but how am I to treat someone else in the congregation? I quoted the verse in Romans chapter 1 because I used this in the introduction way back when. And I used this verse, I remember when Dennis was teaching the book of Romans, for some reason when you're a preacher, Bible class teacher, sometimes your focus sees, I see an outline there. I see a gathering of words that can be used to pinpoint a lesson and don't just gloss over the phrases. So I highlighted the words I and you. Just in these few verses, Romans 1, 7 through 12, Paul said, first, I, here's one, and then he talks about another, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. Without ceasing, I make mention of you, always in my prayers. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. And I just thought, there's a lot of I and you's gathered together in a very small area. So I think that has some significance when Paul writes to that church in Rome. And so just highlight that I, you, one another sequence. We go through this. So in your on your notes, I just gave a list of one another verses used in these sermons that we've given over the course of time. The first sermon just dealt with love one another, John 13, verse 34. It's also used in 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. I usually have given a singular definition of love by simply saying that it's a display of regard for one another, or it's one that chooses to be benevolent for another. Love does not stand in isolation. It's not just words. It's not just deeds, but it's a labor, a task of love. You put your emotion in it. You look out for someone else. And I also I wanted to read that sentence above the bold type, the last of the introduction paragraph. Very few of the one another verses may be carried out in public worship alone. When you look through all these verses, now you'll say, oh, I just talking to one another. Just, I'll just use an example. Deal with the phone call from Chris and Paula Delgado tonight. Where are you? Oh, we are taking care of a brother.
Child.
No, outside the family of God, outside the assembly. And you do this all the time. I'm just mentioning that because it was just recent right here immediately. We do that with brethren. God didn't look down from heaven and just give a shout out. I love you guys. He demonstrated his love. God so loved the world, he gave. And that's the definition of love. And that next verse we use, like I just want to re-preach all of these lessons. Next time is Romans chapter 12, verse 5. So we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. There's a tie. Think of yourself, we're almost like Velcroed at the hip. We're one another. There's a similarity between how the physical body works and how the body of Christ should work. That's the illustration. And so in that lesson I gave, I used 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 27, and verse 14 says, for the body is not one member. In your relationship to God, you can't, or in relationship to the church, it's not just, I'm just one member. I'm in isolation. I am the church. No, there's others. Not one member, but many. And they're different. Just like body parts. Verse 20, but now they are many members, but yet one body. The parts work together. The eye cannot say to the hand in verse 21, I have no need of you. Can't say that about any body part. I know we have some that sometimes are extracted and we still get along, but still, if that's what we were born with, that's what we need. So when we think about people in the congregation, they are members of the body. We need every body part. Don't ever think of yourself as unneeded or not necessary. In verse 25 of 1 Corinthians 12, there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. So if think of your physical body, if one body part hurts, doesn't that almost affect the whole body? I mean, if I stub my toe, my whole body jumps up and down. And it's just a toe that was stubbed. Or you cut, what does the other hand do? Comes over and grabs a finger. We run, the whole body runs to the sink and washes, or we go to the medicine cabinet, get the Band-Aid. Think how a body works, your physical body. And take that, make that spiritual application one for another. Okay, I kind of got long on that one again. Romans 12, verse 10. You can see we're not going to finish this tonight. I have care and concern for the body. For the members. Romans 12, verse 10. Be kindly affectioned, devoted one to another. But I hope when you read this series of verses, that it leaves an impression. You almost say, wow, it's not just we're one another. Look at the list. I don't know if I should have done that. The numbers, just the sheer numbers ought to be impressive. For our relationship. Just sheer numbers ought to say, wow, look at how I need to live and how I need to think and how I need to reach out. Just the numbers that are there. That was one purpose of just doing that series of lessons. Romans 12, verse 10, kindly affection one another with brotherly love, in honor, preferring one another. Kindly affection, it means you need to be nice. Be nice. Courteous. One dictionary definition of the word kind was humane. We used to think of that about humane society caring for animals. But we still need to be humane one for another. The mindset is to give the best to one another. What can I do for you? There's a section in our songbook. It's titled Church, and then it has a dash that says one another. And it's hymn number 703 through 759. There's a host of songs just on this theme. Number binds our hearts in Christian love. No, no. Blessed. Slow down for a moment. Chew on a word or two. Blessed be the tie that binds us together in Christian love. Number 719, angry words. You know, let them never, soil the lips. And the chorus is, love one another. Number 744, God's family. All those, the words in that song just tells about family living and care and concern. So, kindly affection one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. Remember when Jesus washed the disciples' feet? When he finished, he said, do you know what I just did? Oh, yeah, he washed our feet. Do you understand? Let me change the word. Do you understand what I just did? And then he says in John 13, verse 17, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Next one is Romans chapter 12, verse 15. Rejoice with them that rejoice, weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Don't be wise in your own conceit. So the way that we need to treat each other. Romans 14, verse 13. Let us not judge one another anymore, but judge this rather. So there's a judgment we need to make. That no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And on that particular sermon, I just took you through the whole chapter of Romans 14. We looked at 10 principles of how to get along with someone who has an opinion, not a doctrinal difference, but an opinion of differing from ours. One man is a meat eater, one man is not. How do these two get along? God received both of them. So we went through the whole chapter, verse by verse, of Romans 14, dealing with that. You see, in context, when it says, when one differs from us in a matter of opinion, we don't pronounce an eternal judgment on him. Let us not judge one another anymore, but judge this. Finish the verse. So the context really is looking at me. Judge this rather, that no man, one another, no man, don't make sure I don't put a stumbling block in my brother's way. The context looks at me, not at my other brother, who differs in opinion. It's me. Don't put a stumbling block, Brian, in front of your brother's way. They differ. So sometimes we look at the other brother in the chapter. No. Romans 15, verse 5. The God of patience and consolation. Look at the clock here. Now, the God of patience and consolation grant you, and here's a phrase, this one's used several times in the one another verses, be like-minded one toward another according to Jesus Christ. So we're not even, it's not left to our own judgment. How do I need to be of the same mind? Well, I need to be according to Jesus Christ, that ye may with one mind and one mouth glorify God. We're together in this. Even the thought of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive ye one another as, so here's the picture. How should we receive each other? As Christ also received us to the glory of the Father. So receive. You receive something. What do you think about what you do? You got a package in the mail. You received it. What did you just do? You took it in. You probably made it. I hope you welcomed it. You accepted it. You were receptive. So that's what we need to be toward one another. Receive. You know, you look around the auditorium and you see a variety of people, different. at even in creation, God created differences. So don't think it unusual, even in the creation of us and mankind, that there shouldn't be differences. Attitudes, education, the opportunities, those kinds of things. So if God received all of us with all of our differences, why shouldn't we receive one another? But we'll look at a couple more of these again next time. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement, a song of invitation, a song of exhortation. Now, remember the New Testament church.